Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you will get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hey, all you good people out there in Blog Talk Radio land, welcome to today's show. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And once again, have to point you back to the fruit bat warning. If you come in here and you want to indulge in ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, excessive profanity, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be sure to be respectful in your interactions on this show. Okay? Well, folks, we're about in the middle of March now. Hope you all are enjoying yourselves out there with the with these high gas prices. I tell you, it seems like, you know, I think our current administration is like, how high can we go? You know, when we started this work week. Our gas prices were at $3.79, I believe it was. They were at $3.79. By the middle of the week, we were at $4.19. And once again, people like to play politics with this type of thing. You know, they'll sit there and say, well, you know, you can't blame Joe Biden, or they'll say, oh, it's Donald Trump's fault. It's what he is left over from his administration and what he did and everything. So, you know, we really can't blame, you know, Joe Biden. You know, Joe is doing a good job. Yeah, he's doing a good job raising, helping our gas prices go up. I know that much. But it was kind of, you know, it was kind of shocking to me to see our gas prices go up 40 cents in 2 days. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, you know. And the thing that gets me about the whole thing is, you know, Joe Biden is trying to cut deals with other nations so it can help ease the gas prices here in America. But he's not even thinking about what to do domestically. I mean, we have pipelines that we can open up here domestically and that will help ease the cost of the price of gas. But he doesn't want to do that. And I don't understand why he's not looking at to what we can do domestically to help ease the gas prices. It's almost like he's thinking that the only places we can get gas from or oil from are other countries. And we're sitting on a stockpile of oil here in the United States, and we can drill here, you know. And, you know, some people are championing this as, you know, getting into, you know, championing this as a way for us to segue off into green energy, and it'll help the environment and everything. And my thing is this: if you cut down our pipelines here because of the environment, it's okay for us to go to another country and mess up their environment? I mean, come on, you know, help me make sense of this here. And this green energy thing, you know, people look, use some common sense. Green energy is not practical, okay? The technology of it is not developed. We can't run our cars on a tank of water, okay? Solar energy, wind energy, all that sounds good and fine until you have no sun and you have no wind. The technology has not been developed in green energy to where it could be practical to us. That is why fossil fuels are the most efficient way for us to gain energy. You know, fossil fuels are the best way right now, because fossil fuel really doesn't care how hot it is outside, how cold it is, if the sun is shining, if the sun is not shining, if the wind is blowing, it's not blowing. You can put fossil fuel in your car and it doesn't care about any of those factors. It's going to work. Now, people, don't get me wrong. I would love to be able to run my car on sunlight. Put a, you know, have a solar panel up there and, you know, the car just runs on sunlight. I mean, that is if I could afford it, because, you know, one thing people don't understand, too, is a lot of this stuff that's going to be infused with green energy, it's not going to be affordable, you know. But I would love to, you know, be able to ride my car, drive my car on sunlight. But will it give me the same performance as I would from fossil fuel? No, it won't. You won't be able to drive as fast. Your car won't be as efficient. And, you know, they're pushing these electric cars now, the electric car, you know. And I said, you know, how far can a Tesla get on a single charge? I said, well, you know, let me check this thing out. Let me see what a Tesla can get on a single charge. And it was about 350 something miles. It was 352 miles or something like that. And see, here's the thing about the green cars, the electric cars. When that baby runs out of power, when that battery runs out of power or whatever, you're going to have to hook it up to a station, and it can take at least 45 minutes for you to get that car powered back up. But people don't pay attention to those details. They're like, we need green energy, but they don't pay attention to the details and what they are demanding. They think it's just going to be easy for us to segue from fossil fuel and going into green energy. And those of us who are still, you know, pushing fossil fuels, they look at us like we're the ones who are destroying the economy. You don't care about, or the environment, excuse me. You're the ones destroying the environment. You're destroying the environment. No, it's because we realize, and see, I don't have to be a technology scientist or anything like that to understand that the technology for green energy hasn't been developed to the point where it would be practical. And I don't understand why people don't think like that. They just think we can just, you know, transition overnight from fossil fuels to green energy. And they don't understand that green energy will bankrupt a whole lot of us. They said there's a Green New Deal that they were pushing, you know, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, this green energy that they were pushing, it would cost $100 trillion. That's more money than the United States even has. But people tout it, you know, they say, oh, yeah, we can create some jobs. We'll get these people out here, and they can make these vehicles that run on green energy. But green energy, once again, the technology has not been developed for it to be practical. I would love to run my car on a tank of water, you know, pour water in there, you know, say, oh, hey, we're out of fuel. Okay, let's find the nearest river. Let's fill up and boom, you know. But the technology to be able to do that will be very complicated and will be very expensive. It will not be cost effective. And nobody really thinks about that. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a nondescript black man here in Durham, North Carolina, just running off at the mouth in his bedroom. You know, what do I know? But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about on today's show. I'm not so sure that you all know what the big news is this week. And if you are thinking that it's the war in the Ukraine, no. But the news media will want you to think that that's what's going on. They want that to be the number one thing that's going on in the world today. But the number one thing is you all remember Jussie Smollett, you know, but I think it was 3 years ago. He made an accusation. He came out and he said one day it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was 20 degrees below zero. And he decided he had a hankering for some Subway subs. So he was going to walk down the street in 20 below zero temperatures to go get him a sub from Subway at 2 a.m. in the morning. And he says on his way there, a couple of guys met him, and they were wearing MAGA hats. And they recognized him as that boy on that show called Empire. Let's go get him. So they caught him. They beat him up, put a noose around his neck, poured bleach on him. And they said, this here MAGA country. Hey, Mr. Garding, how you doing? When you first heard this story come out, people were already skeptical. They were already skeptical. Excuse me. I mean, because some of the details of this just didn't add up. I mean, why in the world would you want a hankering for some Subway subs at 2 o'clock in the morning and walk to Subway in 20 below zero temperatures and just so happen ran across some guys in Chicago with MAGA hats on and they recognized you from that show called Empire? Now, this is the thing that gets me. If these people were white supremacists, like, you know, was being insinuated, how would they recognize who Jussie Smollett was? because I'm pretty sure if they were white supremacists, they weren't watching the show that it was on called Empire. I never watched that show. I'm not into those. I'm not into a lot of those black shows. You know, because they always, you know, talking woke and all that crazy mess and everything. I'm just not into those type of shows like Empire. Now, the name Jussie Smollett rang a bell with me because I remember, you know, watching a show called On Our Own back in the 90s. And it starred the Smollett family. One of them was named Journey Smollett, who was probably the most famous out of all of them. And I said, Jussie Smollett, I remember that. So I, you know, went to YouTube, try to see if I could find an episode of On Our Own. It was a comedy, kind of like Family Matters. Came on Friday nights on ABC. And I said, well, doggone it, this Jussie Smollett, he was a child actor. He was a child star. And I didn't know Jussie was still acting. The only person I had ever heard of was his sister, Journey. And I was like, oh, okay, he's still in the acting gig. I didn't know that about him, you know. But from the get-go, we all understood that something here was fishy. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I know the temperature is going to be 20 degrees below zero, and I have to walk some distance to get a Subway sandwich, I'm not getting a Subway sandwich. I don't know, maybe he's resilient like that or whatever. And, of course, you know, David Chappelle, you know, calls him Juicy Smoolie, which, you know, the act he did, Dave Chappelle, that he did, you know, about Jussie Smollett, that was pretty hilarious, I have to admit. I don't listen to Dave Chappelle, you know. He's not my style of comedian. But I saw that clip of him talking about Juicy Smoulier. And he said, you know, he was lying from the beginning. And yeah, we knew he was lying because his story didn't add up. Why in the world are you going to be out at 2 a.m. in the morning, 20 below zero, to get a Subway sandwich? And it just so happened two other guys were out there at 20 degrees below zero looking for someone that they could harass. So these two white supremacists approach him and, you know, they tied a noose around his neck, poured bleach on him, said this is MAGA country and all that and everything. And he, you know, he calls the police and whatever. And you know, we saw the shot with him on TV. He had to cut above his, you know, below his eye and everything. And he gets up on the Oprah show and he does the interview with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, Jussie, oh, we feel so sorry for you. See, we told you these Trump supporters, they ain't nothing but a bunch of racists. But see, people who believe Jussie's story, I don't think they necessarily believed his story. I think they wanted to believe his story. And so since they wanted to believe his story, they said, yeah, we believe you. And people were poking holes in his accusations the whole time. Now, if these guys had beat you up, why you only got a little cut under your eye? And why would these guys be out 20 degrees below zero looking for a black person to put a noose around his neck and pour bleach on? And I'm not so sure about the properties of bleach, But I'm thinking bleach would freeze at below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure. I've never tried it. I never looked it up or anything like that. I've never heard about anyone freezing bleach or anything, but I would be certain that bleach is probably going to freeze at 20 degrees below zero. And I forget her name, Kim Fox. I forget what her position is. She decided to, you know, because all the accusations were coming out that, hey, this is a hoax. This is a hoax. This is a hate crime hoax. And Kim Fox, you know, decided to acquit him, you know, said, you know, hey, we're just going to let this go. Boom, boom, boom. And so, you know, people were thinking, you know, oh, Jussie's going to get away with this. He's going to get away with it. I thought he was going to get away with it. That is until Thursday. Flash forward almost 3 years later, and Jussie is, you know, he's being sentenced for perpetrating a hate crime hoax. The judge wasn't too nice on him or anything like that. And he sentenced Jussie to 150 days in jail and 30 months of probation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a person who likes to see someone go to jail or anything like that. But I think the judge went a little light on him. I would have given him a year. Do you know how serious an implication of a hate crime can turn out to be? Can you understand the seriousness of that? People can go to jail that shouldn't be in jail. And when a person does become a victim of a hate crime, people will not tend to believe it. But I'll be honest with you. The hate crimes against black people in this country are very rare. Back in the day, they were probably more common, you know, back in the 50s, the 60s, maybe the 70s too. But this day and age, a hate crime against a black person is very, very rare. But Jussie, he stuck to his guns. I told the truth. I know I'm, you know. And so, you know, when the judge passed a sentence on him, he gets up there talking about, I am not suicidal. And he said it several times. I'm sitting there, okay, Jussie, you're not suicidal, okay? And he makes that outburst and everything. I know I'm innocent and all that and everything. And if anything happens to me, this won't be on me. Yeah, it will be on you, Jussie. And you can sit there and do your Jedi mind trick, you know, and everything, and try to get people to believe that you were innocent and everything. But we know, just listening to the story, that you lied about what happened to you. And people to this day, people still think Jussie Smollett was innocent. And I think when I was listening to, you know, Jussie being sentenced, you know, I heard someone say, stop putting our black men in jail. Now, if I was a judge, I would have been like, well, tell your black men to stop committing crimes. Because ain't no one putting them in jail for no reason. You commit a crime, you deserve the time just like anyone else. And I don't understand these people. I don't want to see another black man go to jail. Well, if you don't want to see another black man go to jail, then you need to tell your black men to stop committing crimes. Because they're not going there. For the most part, in general, they're not going to jail just because a cop sees them on the side of the road and says, hey, let's put him in jail. You think we should put him in jail? Yeah, let's do that. Forget due process of law. Let's just throw him in jail. You think that's what they're doing? No. And see, this is the atmosphere we find ourselves in the United States today. We sit here, we coddle the criminals. We coddle the criminals. We sit there and our black men, we've got so many black men in jail. Yeah, you know why you got so many black men in jail? Because so many black men are committing crimes. Like I tell people, I am 53 years old. I've never been accosted by a police officer and thrown in jail for no reason. I've never been in jail. Don't have any plans of going anytime soon. But I kept myself clean. That's why I've never been to jail. Oh, well, you lucky. You look, no, it ain't got nothing to do with luck. Stop committing the crimes and you won't go to jail. I mean, it's simple. Who kills more black people than anyone else? Black people. Who commits crimes against black people more than anyone else? Black people. So you don't want to go to jail, then stop doing the crimes. And stop this victimhood mentality. Oh, we're going to jail. Look at all the black people in jail. But you got people who will still believe that Jussie Smollett is innocent. Now, my question is, I have a question about another case, too, where a person was accused, where a person made an accusation that someone hung a noose in his garage, Bubba Wallace. If I were Bubba Wallace right now, I'd be a little nervous. Because didn't he perpetuate a hate crime? Didn't he perpetuate one or try to perpetuate a hate crime? He said someone hung a noose in his garage. And then everyone, including Richard Petty, feeling sorry for him. Hey, bring it, boy, ye. Y'all remember that Bubba Wallace? And folks, it seems like we are getting more hate crime hoaxes than we are getting actual hate crimes. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are actual hate crimes going on in this country, but it's not the white on black variety. It's the black on white variety. And those happen almost daily. But Bubba Wallace made the accusation that someone hung a noose in his garage. Oh, how horrible. And found out that the noose was part of a loop of a rope that they used to, when they closed their garage, they grabbed a rope and they pulled it down. They used that to pull the garage door down. It was a momentary lapse of reason crime, probably. But these hate crime hoaxes, and see, the reason why we're seeing the increase in these hate crime hoaxes, because people are believing that the United States is a racist place. But they have no evidence for that racism, so they go around to create a scenario and say, hey, y'all, look, racism. That's what they're doing. That's what they did with Donald Trump. They make up something phony and they say, see, I told you. And then they find out, that wasn't, okay. Because they know that there are people who are going to jump on the bandwagon. They're going to jump to conclusions about a hate crime being committed. All you have to do is make up a story. Throw it out there, and people out there will just jump on, oh, man, you see, this is a hate crime. And even when you prove that the hate crime didn't even exist, you still got people who want to think that it did. Cognitive dissonance. You can prove it to them that this is not a hate crime. This didn't happen. Still want to believe it. People still saying, oh, Bubba Wallace still got my support. Jussie Smollett still got my support. But they were proven wrong. They were proven liars. And I'll be honest with you. Kim Fox, the one who dismissed the charges against Jussie Smollett, I'd bring her to trial too. Because Kim Fox ain't nothing but, you know, a woke black person anyway. She one of them critical race theorists anyway. And she just wanted to dismiss the case against him because he's a black man. That's all she did. And I bring her, I'd investigate her too. I'd investigate Bubba Wallace. Any of these hate crime hoaxers, every last one of them need to be brought in and tried. And they should at least meet the same fate that Jussie Smollett did. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching that thing. And see, when I first heard it, my wife said she heard that he was going to jail. Now, when I heard it, I heard that he was just getting probation. But turns out he was going to jail, and I was surprised. I really was. I thought it was just going to be probation. But the dude is actually going to spend about 5 months in jail. I said, whoa, okay. This judge won't play in. But to be honest with you, I think he should have gotten a year. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything like that, but these people need to be taught a lesson. They really do. Because the atmosphere we're living in, everyone's crying about, you know, white privilege and all this crazy mess and everything, and making false accusations, and innocent people could get hurt. Innocent people could be convicted. And everyone's just looking for any type of white on black racism in every nook and cranny. That's basically what they're, you know. Yeah, I am not suicidal. I mean, he said that so many times. I'm not suicidal. I'm not suicidal. I'm like, okay, all right. You're not suicidal. Okay. No one said you were. And he going out there with the black power, you know, fist raised in the air. And the judge even said, you didn't do this for money. You did this for attention. And I say, yeah, that's exactly what he did it for, was for attention. And see, Jussie Smollett does not like Donald Trump. He cannot stand him. And I think, too, he was like, well, I don't have no evidence that Donald Trump is this racist that I think he is and that I hear everybody else saying he is. So let me go out here and let me, you know, make up my own evidence. And so, hey, let me go out here and accuse these MAGA hat wearers. I got a MAGA hat. And people were already against the MAGA hats. But after that case, I think it ramped up another level. And people think anyone who wears a MAGA hat is a racist. And it's not proven, has not been proven. Just like with the Tea Party some years ago, people made a false accusation against them that they were a bunch of racists. No proof at all. No proof. And they wanted to, you know, make up their evidence. I saw a Tea Party spit on a black man. No, he didn't spit on them. But they racist. How do you know they're racist? Well, listen to them. No. Don't tell me to listen to them. Show me the evidence. Give me specific evidence that these people are racist. Give me specific evidence that the people who have met their life's end at the hands of a cop, that they met their life's end because they were black, like George Floyd or Michael Brown or any of the rest of them, Breonna Taylor. You know if they were white, it would have been different. Oh, there are cases of white folks who have met the same fate as well. Daniel Shavers, gunned down in a hotel. I think his name was Daniel Shavers. Gunned down in a hotel. Of course, the one that stands out to me the most is Tony Tempa. You all want to talk about George Floyd having a knee in his back for 8 minutes? Tony Tempa, white guy, on drugs, he had a knee in his back for about 14 minutes. And the cops were mocking him whether he was dead or not. And you know what happened to those cops? They were acquitted of his murder. Nobody's talking about that, though. We gotta ramp up the cases of white cops and who commit acts against black people. You know, there are people that still believe that Sandra Bland was murdered by white cops. Girl committed suicide in prison, but they want to say that when they took her mugshot, that she was dead already when they took her mugshot. How do you know? Well, they put her in a jail cell, had a trash bag in it. They knew they shouldn't have had that trash bag in there. They knew she would have hung herself. They didn't know that. She hanged herself. I listen to these people. I'm like, y'all need to get a clue. Y'all got to get a clue. I don't understand some people. I really don't. I don't understand the thought process some people have. And to me, it seems more selective than anything. You know, selective outrage and selective, you know, it just seems to me to be more selective than anything. We'll choose to believe what we want to believe. And we'll choose to disbelieve what we don't want to believe. It's real selective. Yeah, Bring It Boy E added something. You know, Bonnie and Clyde were lit up by the police. Yet, did you all ever see the story of Bonnie and Clyde? How the police shot them up? Oh, my goodness. Made Swiss cheese out of them. John Derringer, same thing. And I know that was back in the day, but still, you know, white folks are more the victims of police shootings than black people are. More white people die from a police shooting than black people do. But of course, we choose to ignore that. We say the police are hunting us down. And I forget which year it was, but it was only 9 unarmed black people who were killed by police. Now, if they're hunting us down, it'd be way more than 9 people. They're hunting us down. Say LeBron James, and people believe, yeah, they're hunting us down. LeBron James, as recognizable as you are, and you saying the police are hunting you down, one of the stupidest statements I think I ever heard in my life. Yeah, that girl in Russia, I forgot her name. The one in Russia, she been detained because when she was at the airport, you know, they checked her bags and they saw some hashish oil in there, and so they detained her. I don't know what to think about that. I really don't, because I don't trust Russians. And when I say I don't trust Russians, I'm not talking about your general Russians. I'm talking about those in the government, you know, things like that. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. Because they can make up stuff, you know. You're a spy, you know. I don't know what to think about that. But if she did have hashish oil in her bag, then that's her fault. That's her fault. That's her own stupidity. I don't know what to think about that case. And I'm not going to pass judgment on that. But if she was caught with what they said they caught her with, yeah, that's her fault. But I just don't trust the Russian officials in this, because so many times in history, Russia has been caught doing, you know, making false accusations or covering up disasters or anything like that. And I really don't trust them. I don't trust them, you know. But like I said, if she was caught with that, then you know, she's got to pay the piper. I don't want her to go to jail, but she's got to pay the piper. But this is a case of crying wolf with me. When you hear these cases enough, it gets to the point where you're like, yeah, okay, well, I'll pass judgment when I get more evidence, but I'm not just going to jump on the bandwagon and jump to conclusions and say, oh, yeah, they did that because she was black. No, I don't get caught up in that mess. I do not get caught up in it. I've been fooled by some of these hoaxes so many times, and I've gotten to the point where, yeah, whatever. What, you don't believe that's what? No. Until I see some evidence, I'm not just going to go by somebody's word, because, see, that's how the media has played us. They have played us like this for so many years. That's how they played us during this COVID thing. That's how they played us. And we sitting there like, oh, man, I better put my mask on. And the mask don't even work. And we getting all bent out of shape and everything because, you know, oh, you better wear your mask and all that and everything. Now, if you want to wear your mask, you go right ahead. But don't be jumping on me because I'm not wearing one. Because, you know, all this pandemic has been about is fear. That's all it's been about, playing on people's fears. That's all it is. But that's how the media plays us. They keep and see, here's the thing about it. Liberals are the only kind of people that you can keep crying wolf as many times as you want to, and they will still believe you. They will still believe you. You can say, well, see, with someone who's got some decent common sense, you could probably cry wolf maybe, I don't know, maybe a maximum of 5 times, maybe a little more than that. And then after that, they're like, nah. Shoot, with the liberals, you can cry wolf 10 billion times and be wrong and cry wolf that 10 billionth and one time, and they will still believe you. And it's because they want to believe you, not because they have to. Deep down, you're not going to get me to believe that they actually believe you. You're not going to get me to believe that. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me to believe that. Just like you're not going to get me to believe that people actually thought Joe Biden was going to be a good president. Because, you know, deep down, nah, he wasn't going to be a good president. No. Mm-mm. But they just wanted to vote for him to get rid of the evil orange man with the bad tweets. That's what they wanted to do. And nobody voted for Joe Biden really had confidence in him. And by the way, a lot of you black people out there, yeah, y'all caught up in your black skin and everything. Y'all voted for Joe Biden because you got Kamala Harris as a gift. That's why y'all voted for Joe Biden, because, ooh, Kamala Harris. Ooh, we're going to vote for the black woman. We vote for Joe Biden, we get Kamala Harris. And you couldn't even list Kamala Harris's accomplishments. And Kamala Harris, I didn't think she was this dingy. My goodness, this woman is a straight up ditz. She and Hillary Clinton ought to go on a evil laughter tour or something. I mean, I'm like, my goodness, this woman, she is brainless. And I listen to her talk and I'm like, wait a minute, this is not our vice president. But it shouldn't have surprised me because the president is Joe Biden. But I mean, really. Yeah, 81 million people think he's a good president. You think it's really 81 million people? Bring it, boy. Do you really think it was 81 million? I seriously doubt it was 81 million. But you never heard 81 million people sound so silent in your life. Because they got rid of Donald Trump and they were like, well, y'all got to suck it up. Well, who's got to suck it up now? Because by you voting for Joe Biden and him getting into office, we're all suffering. And you all know that you're suffering as well because of Joe Biden, but you don't want to say anything about it because if you say anything against Joe Biden, that'll be perceived as support for Donald Trump. It'll be like you saying, Donald Trump was right. And you don't want to admit that Donald Trump was a good president. So that's why you're staying silent about Joe Biden. I'm telling you, folks, that's how some people are. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. You were wrong for voting for Joe Biden. And folks, let me say this, and I know people disagree with me. I don't think Joe Biden won this election legitimately. I don't think he did. And folks can sit there and say, well, why do you say that? Well, I gave you the evidence. Donald Trump garnered 11 million more votes than he did his last time he got elected. And you're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama did. And he got more votes than Hillary Clinton did. Uh-uh. You're not going to get me to believe that. As beloved as Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were, you're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than either one of them. And not only that, Donald Trump had gained some of the minority vote as well. I think they said the last election, usually you'll have at least 91% people voting Democrat, of minorities voting Democrat. This last election, I think it was 89%. That might not sound like a big percentage or whatever, but when you look at the numbers, that means a lot of people were like, you know what? Donald Trump is the deal. But, you know, you're not going to get me to believe that 81 million people voted for Joe Biden. And now that Joe Biden is in his dirt and everything, he's responsible for the gas prices going up. He is responsible for the gas prices going up. But nobody's saying it because they don't want to sound like Donald Trump was right and that we should have kept him in office. Folks, you know I'm telling the truth. Before, you know, I got 10 more minutes before, you know, I do my stuff and whatever. I wanted to pull up something too. I want to pull up, let me go to my Gab page. Gab is where I go. I put all my little news clips and everything in Gab so that when I do a show, I can go there and pull them up and everything. And I pulled up something that had me chuckling a little bit on Yahoo News. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. I know some of you all are probably up in arms about me saying Yahoo News. Okay. Look, I understand Yahoo News is not a reliable source. They are not. Okay. I've had people, you know, I've actually had people call me ignorant or whatever, because I got my news from Yahoo News. Okay, I understand they are not reliable. I pulled up this story about you all. I know any Trekkies out there, any of you Trekkies out there. And when I say Trekkies, I'm talking about those of you all who are fans of the first show, of the first Star Trek. You know, in there they had a character named Mr. Sulu. Mr. Sulu. And he was played by an actor named George Takei. I think that's how you pronounce his name. George Takei. few years ago, Georgie Boy came out as being gay. And people were like, oh, yeah, he's a hero. Oh, yeah, he's gay, yay. Gay pride, you know. And I'm going to tell you, this guy makes some of the most obnoxious, brain-dead statements I think I've ever heard an individual make. Hopefully, this guy does not run for office. And if he wins office, whoever voted for him, they need to be rounded up and dropped in the middle of the sea somewhere. I mean, for real. But this article, I got it from Yahoo News. It says, George Takei's plea for Americans to endure higher gas prices to put the screws to Putin sets off a Twitter war. Yeah, he said we're supposed to, well, let me go ahead and read the article. Star Trek actor George Takei, Star Trek actor George Takei's tweet asking Americans to endure paying a little more for food and gasoline as a result of sanctions President Biden imposed on Russia since his invasion of Ukraine caught fire on Twitter Saturday. And that fire is as hot-headed as you probably suspected. And, you know, this is quoted from George Takei. Americans, we can endure higher prices for food and gas if it means putting the screws to Putin, Takei tweeted Friday. Consider it a patriotic donation in the fight for freedom over tyranny. Twitter users flocked to Takei's tweet to express their opinion of his suggestion, with many bashing his perceived wealth in that he can endure higher prices, but the average working-class American cannot kind of wait. On the opposite side of the argument, Takei's supporters pointed out that he and his family were sent to Japanese internment camps in Arkansas and California during World War II, so he knows the repercussion of people remaining silent when they should be speaking up. Everyone who is slamming George Takei for this tweet can get stuffed, one user wrote. He and his family endured internment in a Japanese camp in the U.S. He knows what happens when people look the other way, make excuses. Several others expressed support in the same vein. Guess what, Americans? Another user tweeted. We made plenty of home front sacrifices during World War II, rationing, working in dangerous munitions factories, etc. Proud to do their patriotic duty. Now we whine about gas prices, not having Doritos on the shelves, wearing a mask. George Takei is right. Oh, boy. Here are some more tweets in support of Takei. It's sad to see those attacking George Takei because he's advocating sacrifice to help Ukraine. This isn't about political party. It's a fight for democracy. Once upon a time, no one would have had to ask the U.S. to sacrifice. It was already understood we would to save democracy. Here's another tweet. George Takei endured life in a Japanese internment camp. He can say whatever the heck he wants. Those who disagree with Takei called attention to the history of oil and its connection to Putin, as well as Takei's celebrity status and income. There wouldn't be any need to suffer high gas prices if we hadn't ended the Keystone Pipeline, etc., a user tweeted. The West made Putin. Whoa, what's going on here? Let me get back up here. My page is taking on its own. Okay, here we go. There wouldn't be any need to suffer high gas prices if we hadn't ended the Keystone Pipeline, etc., a user tweeted. The West made Putin a key source of oil in the past couple of years when we stopped being one ourselves. Think about it. I agree with that person. The definition of trading your humanity for patriotism. George will be fine with higher food and gas prices. He's worth $14 million. He's worth $14 million, another wrote. The poor and lower working class in both countries want no part in wars, especially if it's going to add to the financial stress they already feel. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the article. Maybe I should have put a link to it. Let's see. Let me do that. Let me put a link to it in my chat room. And you all can check it out for yourselves. And but the way George Takei, his statements sound strangely like what the communists used to tell their people. You got to make sacrifices. We're going to make sacrifices, and then eventually we're all going to go into this utopia. That's what it sounds. It sounds strangely communistic. And see, he can say that because he's worth $14 million. Now, most of us are not going to make $14 million in our entire lifetimes. But he can sit back and say that, oh, yeah, you got to make the sacrifice. Oh, yeah, that's easy for you to say, Mr. $14 million. My boss was telling me the other day, he said if these gas prices keep going up, he and his wife are going to have to carpool because he travels about 40 miles one way to work every day. He and his wife. His wife works in Raleigh, and he works in Durham, but they live in a county called Johnston County, which is about 40 miles from where Durham is. And he said if these gas prices keep going up, they'll probably have to carpool. But this is some of the idiotic statements that people like to make in a time like this. Oh, you whining about high gas prices. Suck it up. But it's easy to say that when you don't have to worry about your health care or anything like that. You know, you don't have to worry about groceries or things like that. You don't have to worry about living from paycheck to paycheck or anything. It's so easy to say that. But if he weren't worth $14 million, he'd be singing a different tune. Anyway, that's it for the first hour. Let me go ahead and do the advertisements. And on the other side, I will speak to you guys again. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Sorry for that delay in my introduction there. If you would like to be a guest, you call in at 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I was just looking at the chats in the chat room. And Bring It Boy Yee says, democracy now, that's the real news. And I'm thinking that's going along the lines of democracy is not, folks, we do not live in a democracy. And I wish that people will stop using that word. And the reason why I say that is because I'm hearing conservative people use that word saying that we are a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. Democracy might have a play with under, you know, the constitutional republic, but we are not a democracy. And I don't want Bringit Boye to make it, I don't want to make it sound like I'm getting on Bringit Boye for saying that, because I'm pretty sure that Bringit Boye understands that too, you know. And I'm just saying that what I hear other people saying, oh, we got to protect a democracy. We got to protect this democracy. No, we need to protect our republic, you know. So I'm not getting on you, Bringit Boye. You didn't do anything wrong. But it was kind of a trigger for me, because I keep hearing so many people. I hear conservatives saying this. I hear liberals saying this. All kinds of people, protect the democracy. This is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. Democracy is mob rule. That's what democracy is. So I have to stress that. But you know, I'm glad Bringit Boye brought that up. You know, because you know, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, I don't think Bringit Boye believes we live in a democracy. You know, and so I'm not getting on Bringit Boye for bringing that up. But you know, we live in a constitutional republic. We are a nation of laws. And this country is supposed to be run by the laws as they are defined in the Constitution. But a lot of people, they want to undercut the Constitution. They want to say that it's a living, breathing document that we can change it whatever way, and we can do with it whatever we want to. But if you want to change the Constitution, you have to vote for an amendment to the Constitution. You can't just say, oh, well, I'm going to interpret the Constitution according to what I believe. You can't do that. That's not how you are supposed to follow the Constitution. You don't read into it what you think it should read. You know, I do a show based on the Bible on Sundays, and I talk about exegeting and eisegeting. Exegeting is when you interpret the text the way it was meant to be interpreted. Eisegeting is when you read into the text your own biases and beliefs and everything, something that the text does not even explain. You know, the text doesn't even fit. And that's what we do with the Constitution today. We're exegeting and eisegeting the Constitution. We're saying, okay, well, we read our own biases into the Constitution, and we read into it what we think it should say. But we don't read into it what it actually does say. You know, so, but anyway, yeah, I was reading about George Takei, and you know, and talking about people like him who they, because they're at a position of wealth or whatever, and they can sit here and tell you what you need to do, what you need to sacrifice. But they won't sacrifice it themselves. They won't make those same sacrifices themselves. They'll tell you what you need to do, even though you're not as well off as they are. But they won't do it themselves. And it's so easy to tell somebody what they need to be doing when you're in a position of power like he is. And see, this is the problem we have today, you know. And they want to talk, they want to sit there and they want to talk about privilege and all that. And I'm sitting here looking at you, you're worth millions of dollars. You're the one with the privilege. Oprah Winfrey, you know, she was talking to the Royals last year. Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire. She's worth more than the Royals put together. Who was that? The Duke and, you know, I don't, the lady who's supposed to be half black, You know, I don't get caught up in that royal junk anyway. But Oprah's up there, and she's talking to them and talking about white privilege and everything, and Oprah's worth more than most white people can ever even dream of in their lifetime. And she want to sit up there and talk about white privilege. You a billionaire. Well, yeah, she's a billionaire, but, you know, she really had to fight to get the fight like what? What she had to do different than anyone else to become, to get the status that she has now? And I listen to these people talk sometimes, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they still want to talk about, oh, white privilege. And you got more privilege than any white person in this country. And see, I've gotten to the point where I like to listen to the news or whatever, whatever I hear on the news or whatever. I like to give it a dose of common sense. You know, I don't just listen to the news and say, oh, that's what happened. No. And we all got to understand that the news media, just like Donald Trump said, the news media is not our friend. Matter of fact, they are probably our biggest enemy, bigger than the CCP, bigger than the Russians, bigger than any of America's enemies in this world today. Our biggest enemy is our very own news media. Because they can take a 20-minute story, snip it here a little bit, cut there a little bit, edit everything, wrap it up in a nice package, put a bow on it, boom, there you go. There's a 30-second sound bite. And they can make it into what they want you to believe. They want you to believe this. They can twist a person's words around and make them say something that they weren't even thinking about saying. But yet and still, we get our information. Most of our information comes from the news media. And then when a news media channel comes around that upsets the status quo, like Fox or Newsmax or something like that, because they don't fit the party line, we want to accuse them of being racist and hating immigrants and white supremacy and all this crazy mess. And people, keep in mind that the news media, for the most part, they just want to get a reaction out of you because all they're after is rankings. And when they get them high rankings, that means more money. See, a lot of us out there, we're being used and we don't even know it. We just swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. We just sit there, and, you know, the news media can tell us anything. We can sit outside and look at the sky and see that it is blue. The news media tell us it's red, and we'll sit there and say, oh, it's actually red. And then we'll try to defend the news media by saying, well, the sky looks blue, but you know what? It's really red. No, it's not red. It's blue. Look, blue. B-L-U-E, bold print, underline, exclamation point, blue. No, you just don't understand. You know, you just following your own biases and everything. You just want it to be blue. No, it's not that I want it to be blue. It is blue. Look, are you colorblind or something? The sky is blue. But because the news media says something, you'll just believe it, hook, line, and sinker. This is crazy times we're living in, people. I mean, really crazy times. You know, that's what critical race theory does, too. It gets you to believe in something that really isn't true. Critical race theory gets you to believing that America was founded on slavery, which it was not. And they keep pushing this 400 years thing. 400 years. We were in slavery for 400 years. No, we weren't. We've been suffering at the hands of white people for 400 years. No, we haven't. I heard I was watching this news channel on YouTube, and its host was saying that America was founded as a bastion of white supremacy. I'm like, that's funny. Why would people leave an all-white area to come here to establish white supremacy when they had all the white supremacy in Europe anyway? That don't make any sense. And they think that, and they get you to believe that it's white supremacy that is running and ruling this country. They bring up these terms like systemic racism, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. I know what it is, but I don't know what it is at the same time, if that makes any sense. Systemic racism. You know, when a police when the police stop somebody, if it's a white person, let them off a little bit. But if it's a black person, you got to give him trouble. That's systemic racism. I'm like, what? And critical race theory, you know, basically it aims to say that white people have the advantage in this country. Black people, you don't have the advantage, so you need a government to come in and give you a leg up, because the white people are always going to be, you know, ahead of you. You're not as smart as the white people are, so we got to give you a leg up. So we're going to lower the standards for you so you can get into the prestigious schools and get a good job and everything. To me, that's racist. So you're telling me because I'm black that I'm always going to be a victim? You're telling me that because I'm black that I will never measure up to the standards of white America? Is that what you're telling me? So you're going to lower my qualifications to give me a leg up on white folks because I will never be able to measure up to them? Is that what you're telling me? To me, that's racist. I'm like, look, whatever the qualifications the white folks need to meet, I want to meet those qualifications too. Because keep in mind that I might not be white, but I'm still a human being, just like white people are. And I want to be judged by those same standards. Don't give me a leg up. Don't put a curve to my grade. The same standards that you require white people, I want those same standards too. All right, I'm telling you, you ain't going to make it. I don't care. And see, this is why Black America is so dependent on the government. We got an unholy marriage to the government. The government told our women, hey, you want these this welfare? You need to get rid of the man kick that man out of your house. Okay. And that's why we have so many fatherless homes today. That's why we have so many fatherless homes today. But we don't see it. We don't see it. I mean, before the 1960s, 20% of our kids were born to unwed mothers. Now it's at 71%. I believe it's 75%, somewhere between 71 and 75% of black kids born in the country are born to unwed mothers. I used to see the pictures of how our kids dressed back in the 50s and the 60s. We need to go back to that. Because these little loons walking around the streets now, the way they dress, I'm like, what in the world? Don't even dress respectable. Pants hanging down. They walk like that. Someone broke their ankle. Hair every which way. And when someone criticizes them, they want to talk about, oh, you're just doing that because I'm black. You don't like black hair. Oh, shut up. Gag me with a spoon, dude. So you think you're just supposed to look all tacky and look any old kind of way, and you think you're going to get a job or some type of promotion or anything? Are you kidding? Nah, they just don't like me because I'm black. Nah, it might be because you're stupid. It has nothing to do with your skin color. And see, I really do believe this, and I said this on the show before. I really do believe that black America will not be happy until the time comes where black people will never be, they will never be indicted for the crimes that they commit. Oh, that black man robbed the bank, killed five people in the process? Ah, we acquit him. That's my thought, because it seems like that's how they think. They want to call these criminals all the time. Every time a criminal, you know, does something against a cop and a cop ends up taking his life, we want to sit there and call all the criminals. We never would have heard of George Floyd if he hadn't had that encounter with the police, or Michael Brown, or Trayvon Martin. Of course, Trayvon Martin wasn't killed by the police. Or Sandra Bland, or Breonna Taylor, or any of the rest of them. And these guys, they get their fame, but they're not alive to enjoy it. Excuse me. They're not alive to enjoy it. But we want to call all these criminals. Stop putting our black men in jail. Well, someone needs to tell our black men, stop being a bunch of fruit bats. That's my fruit bat alarm, which means I'm going to the phones, which means if you're on the phone and you want to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, trolling, things of that sort, I'm giving you the warning now. You best hang up now, because if you don't, I'm going to be happy to oblige you. But anyway, let me go to the phones. Wow, taking that thing a while.
Sure, welcome to the show. That music sounds, that sounds so good to the ears, man. I don't know what to do. I had to get the weights from my gym and put on my legs to keep from jumping around when I hear that music. So, you know how that goes. But no, you had some interesting topics today, Vincent. And as usual, you're pretty much on time, man. What can I say? If I was good,
that.
I would have gave Justice Smollett. I would have gave him 10 years.
Wow.
You know, the police chief said that he would have let him go if he only had apologized. And that goes to show you what that's all about.
Yeah.
That man don't need to be apologized. He need to go to jail. And this lets you know that Obama's got something to do with that. He's got something to do with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he met with Michelle Obama, you know, so.
Yeah, now why would she meet with him and he don't commit a crime? What is it to be talked about?
Nothing at all.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, as of just this past what date is that? March 11th. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yep.
They had 3,816 blacks shot by other blacks and 527 murdered. 284 days. Hell, you don't have that many killed and shot in the Ukraine.
No.
No.
Just think about that. 3,816. And Laurie Lightfoot is putting out an order that if ain't no city workers and police officer vaccinated, wearing masks, they're going to get fired. What kind of dumb mess is that?
Yeah, no.
Hell, you had Kalon Harris shoot two Chicago police officers.
Yep.
In 2020, you had 80 officers shot. Mm-hmm. In 2021, 76 fired at with 14 struck, including the officer that was killed, the lady, female Hispanic officer that was killed as she approached a vehicle. Nothing said about all of that.
No. Mm-mm.
You're talking about Jussie Smollett and all the people that came to give testimony on why he shouldn't go to jail. Well, where else is she? Where yeah. should he go? The Ghana, West Africa we'll... for a tour? And bleach freezes at 19 degrees below. So they would have threw ice cubes on it.
Yeah, thank you.
It was 29 degrees. It was 29 degrees below that night. One of the coldest in years. And he's making this lie, trying to say some white males who was pro-Trump beat him up. Well, if I was going to be out at that time of the morning in that type of weather, I would at least got my money's worth out of kicking his butt.
I mean, really?
And I wouldn't have used a window shade rope to lynch him with. And speaking about lynching, this anti-lynching bill, it speaks on nothing about lynching.
Of course, there's always some kind of Trojan horse to put their own little ideas in there, sneak them in there and whatever so they can pass and say, hey, y'all, look what we got now.
The word lynch is in the title, then it shows up in one of the subtitles. I say within the context of the bill, it shows nothing. Speaks nothing about lynching. And I thought lynching would be a crime anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If somebody's murdered, it's a murder, right?
I mean, really? I mean, it's straight up murder.
So what the heck they need to have a anti-lynching bill for?
I mean, really?
Maybe it would be nice if in carrying out the death sentences,
yeah,
of a court, that people are lynched. Bring it back like it was the old days. Put a dark bag over their head and lynch them. And if mm-hmm. the head snap off, at least be in a bag, easy disposal. Where's my buddy Sarge at?
Oh, Sarge is in the he's in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. Matter of fact, let me give a shout-out to Robert Garding. He's the owner of this. He's the main host of CNN Radio. Bring It Boy Yee from California. Much prayers are needed for Bring It Boy Yee. We've got Sarge in the chat room. And, of course, right now I am talking to Pianki just to get my shout-out.
I understand. that Congress passed some damn emergency spending bill that had within it yet another anti-gun piece of legislation.
Yeah, and, they ain't giving up on that anti-gun thing. Yeah, they ain't giving up on that.
They want to give Ukrainians AR-15 while they take Americans AR-15. My hat goes off to Alabama, sweet home Alabama, for passing their legislation, passed the law doing away with concealed carry, replacing it with constitutional carry. My hat goes off to Alabama and 20 other states that have such respect for the Second Amendment by doing likewise.
Mm-hmm.
What a bunch of red-blooded constitutional expectant people.
Yeah. I mean, for real. See, like I said earlier, you know, what I was saying about exegeting and eisegeting, a lot of people are reading into the Constitution what they want it to say, not what it actually says. You know, they'll say this is unconstitutional and this is constitutional, but they won't tell you why this is unconstitutional and this is constitutional. You know, they just you know, flap off at the yap, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you hear people say that abortion is constitutional, show me in the Constitution where it says, you know, where it says a woman has a quote-unquote right to kill her baby. You know, it's not constitutional. But they say, oh, she's granted that right by the Constitution. It's not in there.
Well, you know, another thing that gets me all right up, you got Sheila Jackson Lee telling Russia they need to let the grinder go after committing a crime in Russia. You know, what do these folks get on with this kind of stuff, man? It don't make no damn sense.
Sheila Jackson Lee, I already knew what the deal was.
She took Barbara Jordan's old seat.
Yeah.
And that Barbara Jordan was a great politician, man. I really did enjoy her. And she was a Democrat.
Yeah.
I tell you, another woman that I admire is Fannie Lou Hamer.
Okay, yeah.
And when she spoke at the Democratic Convention, and she made mention on the date that she and I think 18 of them went to petition for registration, not voting, registration. You have people that are saying that blacks, the 1965 Voters' Rights Act, misnomered, had to do with voting. Blacks weren't able to vote. Every 20 years, Congress had to vote to get so blacks could vote. Well, that's a damn lie.
Yeah.
And if that's a lie, then I guess Fannie Lou Hamer is lying because she said it was about they wanted to be able to register.
Yeah.
They already had the right to vote. But because of the racist attitudes that was down in Mississippi, they weren't able to register.
And two, about Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, people actually use her as the catalyst that was responsible for the party switching. They say she was the reason why the party switched in the 1960s.
They say she was the reason why. What do you mean? What do they mean by that? I don't understand. That party switched from what? From Republican to Democrat?
When she made that statement at the DNC, and they said, well, that's when the hateful Democrats went to the Republican Party, and the people in the Republican Party who supported black folks, that's when they came into the Democrat Party. I said, y'all, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. And they said,
they would have to be referring to what Johnson done, because he was the subject of interest at that time. And I think when she came out and made that statement, she kind of foiled whatever he had in mind on saying. And that may be where that come up with. That was the 1964 DNC convention.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yeah.
Listen at this.
And to the Judicial Committee, my name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
Let me go back. All right, here we go.
Mr. Chairman, and to the Judicial Committee, my name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, and I live at 626 East Lafayette Street, Louisville, Mississippi, Sunflower County, the home of Senator James O. Eastman and Senator Stennis. It was the 31st of August in 1962 that 18 of us traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse in Indianola to try to register to become first-class citizens.
Tried to do what?
Tried to vote to become first class citizens.
Tried to register. Let me let you hear it again.
First of August in 1962, that 18 of us traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse in Indianola to try to register to become first class citizens.
Tried to register. Wasn't trying to vote, and that was before the 1965 Voters' Rights Act, which put pre-clearance, several states and counties, including Hawaii, and I believe New York and Maine, by the way, where they had to get pre-clearance before they made any changes, adjustments that would affect voting patterns, like opening up, moving a polling place across the street or changing the hours or something like that. And here's the thing. The pre-clearance, guess what? It was voluntarily. It was voluntarily for the simple reason. It was a decree. It was voluntary. States didn't have to do it unless they wanted to. And then when Roberts Court done away with Section 4, and he said that the incidents, or should I say the conditions that was used, is not relevant no longer. That was 40 years ago. And since then, many of these areas became all black, got blacks elected. And like I mentioned once about an area in Georgia, in Shelby County, out of the five people on the commissioner board, the chairman is black, and three of the other six are black. So you mean to tell me that blacks are making changes to the voting patterns in Shelby County? That's going to keep blacks from voting? That just don't make no damn sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And I gave the name of the commissioner where you can call him. If you don't want to call him, I gave the address where his office is. But no, Fannie Lou Hamer was a very courageous woman.
She was.
And you could hear, you listen to her voice, you could hear the stress that she had in her voice. She was a very courageous woman. And I can only take my hat off to her. I really do.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look her up again, learn some more about her, because I'm going to be honest with you. That's the first time I heard her speech.
And she was physically handicapped, along with Barbara Jordan. Barbara Jordan was in a wheelchair. Barbara Jordan said that immigration is a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege.
Democrat woman said that.
Oh, hell yeah. She said that. Said it was a privilege and not a right. If you don't believe me, Well, here, listen.
President Trump raised eyebrows this week when he claimed he shares the same ideas on immigration as Texas political icon Barbara Jordan. Jordan is a revered figure with statues honoring her legacy on the UT campus and at Austin's airport. The Democrat became the first African-American woman to serve in the Texas Senate and the first woman to serve Texas in Congress. Jordan is remembered for her eloquence and her sense of justice and ethics. Some people see Barbara Jordan as the complete opposite of Donald Trump, so it took many folks by surprise when he compared his views to hers. On Wednesday, the president posted a message on the White House website saying immigration reform in the 1990s.
We have concluded.
Just a few months before her death.
We have concluded that a properly regulated legal immigration system is in the national interest. We support the basic framework of current policy, but I said properly regulated, and I mean that. Immigration is not a right guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution to everyone anywhere in the world who thinks they want to come to the United States. Immigration is a privilege. It is a privilege granted by the people of the United States to those we choose to admit.
What is immigration?
A privilege.
And who grants it?
Who sing the praises.
It's the people that grants it.
Exactly.
Congress gets its powers through the people, through the states of these United States. Not by no feeling, my heart-filled convictions or some mysterious speakings in their head. It's by the people of the United States, i.e., quote, the states. And I don't know why some of these ignorant asses can't understand that. What Joe Biden is doing, his administration is totally wrong.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how many people who sing Barbara Jordan's praises today have actually heard her speech on that, you know. Because you know, a lot of people who sing her praises today, they're the pro-immigrant types. Who think we should have open borders and just flee flowing borders and everything. I wonder if they ever heard her speak on that.
I doubt it very seriously. I doubt if they did, they wouldn't understand what the hell they were saying. Then they'd probably say it's fake, that Trump done something to it to make it sound that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, okay, let me get this other caller on here. Let me get this other caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, I just want all them fruit bats out there, one and all, whether they wish me well or ill, whether they be friend or foe, I am not suicidal and I am innocent. Hey, man, where are all them folks up here, like Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, Don Lemon, all these advocates and not apologists, but extollers of Juicy Smollett. Where are they today? Why are there no Twitter releases? Where's the Instagram post about the conviction of Juicy? Is he being ignored? Is his plight not being revealed to the world? What's up?
That's a good question.
Man, I tell you, I'm just so disappointed in our betters. Our elites just constantly never fail to disappoint me. It's just a shame, man. Hey, man, look here. You know, the problem now, we got this hideous cacistocracy governing us. The worst we have ever seen in American governments, who are absolutely historically illiterate. And I'm going to bring you to what's going on today with Ukraine. I'm going to bring something to you that was brought about by a man who wrote a book. And the title of the book, and I just started reading it, because I've been meaning to read it for a long time. I just started reading, and I was in the prologue, and I'm on page 16 in the prologue. The book is The Frozen Chosen, the 1st Marine Division in the Battle of the Chosen Reservoir. The author is Thomas McKelvey Cleaver. And, of course, it deals the epic battle and withdrawal of Army and Marine units from the Chongqing Reservoir when the Chinese struck and caught the United Nations completely by surprise in November 1950. Now, you ask yourself, what could that have to do with Ukraine? And that's a fair question. Well, I'm telling you what it says. There's this paragraph right here that realized why past is prologue and history is never dead. Listen to what this author writes. Washington's calculations were as lopsidedly wrong. Now, he's talking about their failure to divine Chinese intentions after they were given clear warnings about what might happen should they persist in going to the Yalu in an attempt to destroy the North Korean army. And he writes, Washington's calculations were so lopsidedly wrong in late 1950 with regard to China's understandable fears, as they are today with regard to Russia's concerns in Georgia and Ukraine. From 1993 to the present day, the United States pushed itself and the NATO alliance closer and closer to Russia's boundaries as if nothing would happen in response. Then, when Moscow did respond in Georgia, in the Crimea, and then in Ukraine proper, U.S. leaders acted as if they were gravely surprised. Perhaps they and the leaders in 1950 were in fact surprised. That would be a strong indictment of their leadership. They should not have been surprised, not at all. And in 1950, many men paid the ultimate price for this negligence. Do you know when this man wrote this prologue? He wrote it in December of 2015.
Oh, okay.
So like I said, we got a moron that's like this glittering-eyed fanatical idiot who calls himself a vice president. And clearly he ain't serious about fixing nothing in Europe, sending that moron there. She's up there in the midst of this going on. She's talking about her childlike faith in electric buses. I mean, and her eyes are just glittering with glee and joy at the prospect of her enticing us over to the electrical vehicle nirvana. I mean, it was amazing to watch. It was at least as amazing as watching her cackling when she wanted the Polish president to take the lead because she really didn't know how to answer a question. And the Polish president, I guess, said, well, I think I'll defer to the vice president of the United States. Plus, she's a lady, so I'll let her answer first. You know, they're kind of traditional, a lot of them European countries, about stuff like that. And, of course, the moron probably didn't expect that she was going to be asked a question, expect to put up an answer, so she didn't know what to do. She's something like a deer in the headlights. And, you know, and then she goes up here and looks at him and says, friend in need is a friend indeed. It's just the darndest thing I've ever seen, man. And you say to yourself, this administration is just full of historically illiterate, stupid, utterly incompetent. And you know the Peter Principle. You ever heard of the Peter Principle, haven't you? Well, the Peter Principle is the one you promoted beyond your depth. Well, that goes, there's a double entendre with regard to the Peter Principle and Kamala Harris. But it's definitely true. I'm talking about Willie Brown's Peter. Man.
Oh, my God.
I tell you, man, this is just amazing what we're looking at. And now that, as usually, they got to gaslight us. Your lying eyes ain't seeing what your lying eyes tell you you're seeing. You ain't seeing all these gas prices going up because anything we did, even though they were going up before the invasion. Oh, no, it's because them dastardly oil companies don't want to use them thousands of leases they got and they just sitting on. Because after all, we know the oil companies aren't in the business of making money. I mean, gas oil's up to 100, over 125, approaching $200, 130, whatever it is. It's approaching $200 a barrel. They don't want to make money. They just want to sit on the leases. And they expect us to believe this. You know, when you get a lease, it gives you the right to begin exploring for oil. If it's a dry hole, it's useless.
Yeah.
And they haven't given out any new leases. They're not giving any new leases on federal property. And they're not going to take a chance of cutting them up in dry holes and then not be able to start one that they know oil is going to come out of. Oil is all over the place. But that doesn't mean it's every place you start drilling.
Yeah.
I mean, these people
are
crazy and expect us to believe this nonsense. They just keep throwing it in our faces and acting as though we don't see what we see. I mean, to some extent, they are counting on the ignorance that has been promulgated in a great deal of our population by this god-awful, hideous educational system that these professional educators and professional union mavens have inflicted upon us instead of a decently operating public school system. It's
you know what,
colleges, they're nothing but hotbeds and little ivy-covered North Koreas now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what? That word you said, federal lands, that land should belong to the state, not the federal government. And if the states want the federal government to lease it, then they should lease it to them. But here's the thing. States got the ability to set their regulations. States got the ability to issue leases. State has the ability for the oil to be exploited within the state themselves, and then royalty can go to the people of the state. Same thing with offshore oil well drilling. Any operation that's going on within the extreme boundaries of a state, out to international waters, those royalties, those revenues should go back to that state where it can be distributed amongst the people of the state, similar to what you have in Alaska.
Yeah, well,
that's
that's always an the Article 1, Section 8 says what the federal government is supposed to have land for. And I don't see nowhere where it says there's supposed to be extensive holdings of state land. Article 1, Section 8 talks about forts, arsenals, needful docks for the Navy, and a few other things. It doesn't say anything about extensive land reserved and set aside for the use of the federal government. It really doesn't. I wish someone would examine this to some extent. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think because what it says is to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such districts not exceeding 10 miles square has made by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of government in the United States. Well, that was taken care of in Washington, D.C., so that's not an issue. And exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. So I'd like to know, what are they talking about, these extensive reserve federal lands? Where's the authority
and
constitution for it?
It was 10-9 square by the judicial districts, which is 13 of them in the U.S., 13 judicial districts, and which includes D.C., I believe. But no, the states need to claim that, tell the federal government, you give us our land back. This is state land. And it'd be only wisely so. A lot of this mess will stop. And, the amount of money that American citizens pay in taxes and everything else, if you've done away with a lot of that stuff that shouldn't be in place and put that money back in Americans' pockets, do you imagine how well off we would be as a country? Look at them giving $18 billion to Ukraine. What the hell are you giving $18 billion to the Ukraine for? Why are you giving AR-15 and at the same time, in sneaky legislation, restricting Americans' access to weapons, and even some candidates talking about taking AR-15s.
Saw that little bit of sneaky gun control legislation that came up in the Violence Against Women Act. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Pionki.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of bull crap is what it is.
They
couldn't get it the last time, but
stuff.
They were able to get it through with this omnibus bill without much debate. They're sneaky as hell, man. These people, I swear to God, they're sneaky as much of bass as I've seen in my life. They do that all the time, that way.
And these damn Republicans ain't no better.
Oh, man.
You got something there just as lousy as a piece of a molded cheese. Look at that Lindsey Graham saying that he hopes that somebody should assassinate Putin. Is he crazy?
I mean, really? Yeah, Lindsey Graham, the flip-flopper. That's what my
Well, I'll tell you right now, thanks to these reckless, ill-considered, emotion-driven policies, they are going to drive Russia, Iran, and North Korea into an even more solid axis, and they might bring Venezuela along with them. Because they're going to be able to prop each other up. And they're going to
they
run the risk of causing the United States dollar to be coupled from the world's reserve currency and maybe something like, I don't know, the Chinese yuan replacing it. It's entirely possible this could be a consequence of this from these goddamn idiots. I'm sorry. Mm. It just seems like they don't think things through.
Yeah, I think they're doing this on purpose.
That many countries in the European Union, the major countries in the EU, are not going to go along with this oil sanction with Russia. They didn't coordinate that very well, did they?
No.
Now, they're going to buy it. China's going to buy it. Russia's going to be beholden to China. China's going to be driven further into their arms. And I just like they're not thinking this thing through. No, I don't like what Russia is doing. I hope the Ukrainians can beat their behinds, but I don't think they're going to be able to ultimately. I think Russia will prevail.
The thing is that you shouldn't be agitating.
There will be a long and destructive insurgency in Ukraine for years to come. Ukraine will be wrecked, and the world will be destabilized.
It shouldn't be agitating the whole thing about offering Ukraine weapons, offering Ukraine jets. Hell, you know, any shipload on the seas, Russia's Navy can board and look for contraband because his weapons are going to jail. And immediately some CNN and some of the other popular left.
Well, let's look at what our position was during the Vietnam War when all those Soviet ships were bringing all that war material into Haiphong and supplying the North Vietnamese Army during the Vietnam War. Now, you realize that they had standing orders, the pilots who were bombing Hanoi, to avoid the docks of Haiphong because they were afraid of hitting Soviet ships who were bringing the war material into Hanoi to kill me and my comrades in the South. But there was an incident, if you read a great book about the air war over North Vietnam called Going Downtown by a great fighter pilot, a squadron commander named Jack Broughton. And he describes an incident where two of his pilots accidentally hit a Russian ship that was offloading supplies in Haiphong Harbor, killed some Soviet merchant sailors, and damaged a couple of their ships, a couple of his fighter bomber pods for these F-105 Thunder Chiefs. Anyhow, they hit the boats and damaged it. And there was a diplomatic protest through formal channels by the Russian government, and they wanted the court-martial his two men. And Broughton got in a whole world of trouble standing up for them. He eventually got relieved of his command because he did not want his men to be made scapegoats for misguided American bombing policy. But the point is that those ships in Haiphong were legitimate military targets while they were in Hanoi, in the port of Hanoi. They were legitimate targets. It was just a diplomatic consideration to not hit them. And I got news for you. It will be the same thing should a theater of action where Russia is actively engaged in combat against an enemy. Anybody brings supplies in Ukraine that is in the Ukrainian theater of operations will be a legitimate target under international laws of war for Russian forces. And where might that lead?
Mm. World War III?
Who knows? All I know is the one thing about these things get out of control. If you look at the way World War I happened, nobody intended there to be a general European conflagration, but things just got out of control because people didn't tell people about their secret alliances and their secret commitments and what the plans for mobilization would be. And it just literally led to things getting out of the control of the people involved, the people leading the governments. It literally just cascaded out of their control.
Yep. I tell you, a lot of stuff going on. tell you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, but we got people here who are so, they're, like I said, they're historically illiterate. They are profoundly stupid, rash, and they almost never think through the consequences of their actions. They never think it through.
Yeah.
A lot of them are juvenile, they're puerile, they're facile, they're silly, and they speak in idiot factoid sound bites. It's just maddening to watch these people governing us. And all they did all their lives is just punch the appropriate tickets and get elected by making empty, vapid, stupid promises to people.
And
Joe Biden epitomizes it along with his moronic vice president.
Oh, gosh, I tell you. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's so much going on today. My goodness. Mm. And Sarge is right. You know, when it comes, I think we talk about financial literacy. We talk about general literacy, but we need some historical literacy in this country because we need to be able to put the dots together. We need to be able to connect the lines and whatever. And a lot of us, we just go by feelings. We just go by, you know, how someone frames a statement or something like that. And we're so easily distracted, you know, this way, that way, and everything. And I mean, we really need some historical literacy in this country. I mean, and be honest with you, I don't just blame the school systems. I blame the parents as well, you know, because it's really no excuse for us to be as illiterate with history as we are today. You know, I mean, we live in the freaking United States of America. We can, you know, we got access to documents. We got access to books and everything. And it's really no excuse for us to be so ignorant. But appreciate you guys. Let me, I got a few seconds left in the show. I got a caller here, but it's at the end of the show. But I appreciate you guys coming on here because, like I said, y'all give me a little dose of common sense on this show. Sarge is the walking encyclopedia. I think Pianki is the one who draws the illustrations in the encyclopedia. But I really thank you guys for being on here because you all really give a little injection of knowledge and history into this program, because a lot of things that you all talk about, I never heard myself, be honest with you. And I'm not sitting here trying to put myself down or anything like that, but a lot of this stuff I ain't never heard of either, you know. And it just prompts me to, you know, want to study history that much more. But I want to thank you guys, give you all a shout out, and tell you all that I appreciate you guys. And once again, shout out to people in the chat room. Bring it, Boye, and I think Robert Garding is gone. So, but anyway, next week we should have another edition of Black by Color Only. Hopefully, you know, God willing, I will have that. You know, I'll be ready for that show next week and everything. So. Tell your mama, tell your grandmama, tell your daddy, you know, come and listen to this nondescript black boy from Durham, North Carolina, speak about black issues in this country. But anyway, you all have a good day. Enjoy your Saturday. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I will see you guys on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday.